It's great to be in the house of the Lord. I was glad when they said to me, let us go up to the house of the Lord to worship and to praise Him. For the Lord is good and His mercy endures forever. Amen. Welcome, family. Welcome to our second service this morning. For those who are watching on live stream, we welcome you as well. All the families down in Blackwater and in Townsville and Mackay and Papua New Guinea, all over down to Sydney, Brisbane. Those who are following us by live stream, we welcome you. God bless you. May the Lord bless you and speak to you through His word this morning. May you be encouraged. Those of you who are here this morning, part of the furniture, welcome this morning. Just wave to somebody and say, hey, hello. Not too serious in here. Tell them everything's going to be okay. God is going to speak to us, inspire us this morning. Hallelujah. Let's pray. God, we thank you. Father God, we bring your word before you this morning. Lord, your word is everlasting to everlasting. Your word is life. Your word proceeds through eternity, God God. Heaven and earth will pass away, but your word will endure forever. Lord, it lives through our lives, not just in eternity, but right now, Father God. Lord, I pray your spirit speak to your people this morning. Father, I pray that you will not let your word come back to you void, but it will accomplish every purpose that you have purpose for it to do. Lord, I pray you watch over your word to fulfill it. I pray you hide me as I've always prayed. Hide me that your people hear your word. We give you praise, we give you honor, we give you glory. Yeshua's mighty name, I pray. Amen. Aaron, those who have been here this morning want to get a second dose. That's good, because second dose always hits home. Hallelujah. Well, you know, I haven't stopped from our journey of obedience because I believe it's a key scripture, and it's not something that we just preach on one Sunday. I don't feel satisfied when I release something on one Sunday because God keeps pouring out. God keeps releasing His word that we must continue to walk in that place and continue to remind ourselves, because it's important for us to walk in a place of obedience. So I haven't stopped on that in that particular area yet. So this is kind of like a third session on this, but I believe it's important, something that God is showing me. So I want to speak to you a little bit about that journey to an abundant life, because most of us live on this very earth. Most of us think we have to go to heaven to have abundant life. Jesus said you can have it right now. Jesus said the devil come to steal and to kill and to destroy. I come that you may have abundant life and life to the fullest. Life. Hallelujah. Jesus walked around and promised life to the full to all his followers. Then he said something that we must all understand. And if you haven't, I pray that this morning will be a time when you will really truly understand this morning and make the decision to apply the Word of God in your life. Take the challenge. We do a lot of things as challenges in our life. We take challenges in tests for our jobs or tests for school or tests for anything. Whatever in life that comes, there's always a challenge. But how much more are we should take God's Word and put it into challenge? Amen? Hallelujah. He showed us a path in John chapter 7, verse 17. And that's a key scripture that I want to use this morning. It's an important scripture because Jesus said, if anyone wills to do his will, he shall know concerning the doctrine, whether it is from God or whether I speak on my own authority. This is the word that we must take now. This is the John chapter 7, verse 17 challenge. In other words, Jesus is saying, if anyone puts his teachings into practice, they would find out or experience that his words and his promises are true. Amen? If you've never experienced the promises of God, you have never put his word to test. That's the truth. If you're a person that has never seen the power of the manifestation of the word of God, then you have not put his word to test. Here in John chapter 7, verse 17, he's challenging us. He's saying, if you anyone wills to do his will, whose will? Father God, my Father's will. He shall know concerning the doctrine, whether it is from God or whether I speak on my own authority. The word of God comes with the manifestation power that are able to transform you and I. I didn't change because some guy gave me an injection and a doctor gave me a nice word and some tablets and changed me. I changed because the power of the word of God that was preached to me with such power that it manifests itself in the presence that transformed me forever. My spirit changed. We deal with the spirit things in the church. My people perish because not the devil, but because of lack of knowledge. It's something that we must understand. Jesus is challenging us. If anyone puts his teachings into practice, they would find out or experience that his words and his promises were true. In addition to eternal life, life to the fullest consists of rest, contentment, peace, divine provision, freedom, joy, and fruit. You don't have to wait till you have life abundant. Life abundant has already come to you when you receive the Holy Ghost. When the Holy Spirit comes to live inside of you, life has arrived. Life is inside of you. Hallelujah. Death is gone. Life begins. And life begins on this very earth that you and I are living right now. You can live life abundantly according to His Word. But look into your heart and at those around you. Do you see life to the fullest? Hello, somebody. As Jesus described it, don't answer me. I want you to think about these things. If anyone, he says, or do you see fear, anxiety, doubt, worry, frustration, bondage, loneliness, weak faith, deception, and fruitlessness. That's happening inside church. Hallelujah. Unfortunately, I see mostly the latter. And this is as a burden in my life or my heart to fight against this weakness in the church. And I need you people to understand this, because this is a fight that is not just for the pastor. It's a fight for each and every man, women, and children in the church to break away from this kind of weaknesses, frustration and bondage and loneliness, weak faith and deception and fruitlessness in your life. That's not life abundant. That doesn't come from God. Millions of Christians are going through the motions, having no idea what they're missing out on. They have settled for less because they can't see more. They're missing pieces of the puzzle. It is the most important kingdom key. Jesus said, I have given you keys of the kingdom. Whatever you bind on earth shall be bind in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth shall be loose in heaven. Unless you take all of Jesus' words in John chapter 7, verse 17, as a challenge and put it to work in your life, you will remain just snorkeling in the things of God. God doesn't want you to be a snorkeler in the things of God. God wants you to scuba dive into the things of God. Find those things that you have never, never, never experienced before. Here's the question that you should ask yourself. Am I truly obeying God from my heart or from external pressure and rule following? It's rough in church today. I said last week, and I keep saying it, the Bible tells me, go into the whole world and preach the gospel and make disciples of all nations. Not Christians or not just believers. Because the devil also believe Jesus. The devil also believe in God. Everybody can believe, but it takes the disciples to follow after Jesus. It takes disciplined people with disciplined character to follow after Jesus. Hallelujah. My Bible tells me that. That's why I'm going to shift to become just a Christian or just a believer to a follower of Jesus Christ. This is part two of what I brought last week. It's time to get into the deeper waters and find the buried treasure, the spiritual treasures that are inside of God. And the only person that can do it is the Holy Ghost. The Holy Spirit lives inside of you and I. The Bible tells me in Romans 8:11, the same Spirit that gave life to Jesus, the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead, lives and dwells what? Bodily inside of us. You carry a spirit that is so powerful than anything else in the world inside you. And that same Spirit, it tells me, the Bible tells me, it shall give me what? Life, and life to the fullest. Hallelujah. I want to start by making a statement that Jesus made, and it is found in Matthew chapter 5, verse 20. He says, "For I say to you, that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees, you shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven." Strong words. Hallelujah. I remember Jesus' words. He says, "Depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I do not know you." These are very serious statements that God is making. And you and I need to take this into consideration and seriously start to differentiate from just being a churchgoer to a true follower of Jesus Christ, if you want to live the abundant life that He promised us. Hallelujah. Churches are filled with people who have essentially been bribed to follow the rules through external pressure rather than internal desire and relationship with God. They're doing the Christianity thing. Everybody's doing Christianity. Anybody can be a Christian, but it takes the tough people to follow Christ, to truly follow His word, to abide by His word. Following Jesus is not an easy journey. Nobody promised you a bed of roses in following Jesus. Hallelujah. Everyone is doing Christianity apart from actually having a dependent relationship with God, empowered by His Spirit. Hallelujah. Don't go on quiet on me now. Shout out and say, "Amen, Pastor. I believe what you're saying today. I believe what the Word of God is saying today." In fact, they get along just fine even without having to bug God about anything too much. How tragic. Do you not know? I pray that I do not let this happen in your life. Do not become like just another churchgoer in life. Because you will never, never experience the abundant life that Jesus promised you to have. Hallelujah. Saving faith is not about playing the part. You don't just play the part in church when you come into Christ. Saving faith, it's about loving God, truly loving God from your heart. I'm talking about a relationship today. You and I need to keep our relationship with God going. That's the most important thing. Serving in a church or doing anything in ministry is not important until your relationship with God is intact. If you come to me with a problem, the first question I'm going to ask you, how is your relationship with Jesus? I'm not going to pray for you. I'm going to ask you that question. Because most of our problems are self-inflicted. We make choices that destroy our own lives, and yet we want pastors to pray for us or people to pray for us. Most of the problems you have in life is self-inflicted. We brought that onto ourselves. So my question to you will always be, how is your relationship with Jesus? That's the first question I'm going to give you. I was sharing with a brother today, and he's giving me all his problems. I said, "My brother, your relationship with Jesus is the most important thing first. Important. If you fix that, everything will flow into alignment with what you have with Jesus." The Bible tells me, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness." Hallelujah. He doesn't tell me to go and seek for answers to my problems. He says, "Come, seek me first. Seek me, find my righteousness and my holiness. Walk blameless before me. Have a clean hand and a holy heart." And that's when all these things will be what? Added unto us. All the things that you search for on this earth will be added unto you when you become a follower of Jesus Christ and abide and walk blameless before Him. Saving faith is not about playing the part, I said. The obedience, I continue to point out, should come from your love for God. You don't come to church and worship because it's a good thing. It's because you love God. You are here because you love God. You're here because you want to have a relationship with God. I don't care how long you're a Christian. I don't know, because the Bible tells me there'll be a great falling away. Many will deny Jesus and walk away from Him. If you think it's not going to happen to you, think again. And be very careful about what you listen to and what you hear nowadays, because there's a lot of false teachers going on preaching rubbish on the internet. Be careful. Study the Word of God yourself. Don't just take my word for it. Take your Bible, go home and study it yourself. Allow the Holy Ghost to speak to you. Don't just listen to me and say, yeah, that's it, I believe that. Take the Word of God in study. Take it to challenge. John chapter 7, verse 17. Take on the Word. Take on the challenge. I call it the John chapter 7, verse 17 challenge. Apply it into your life. This is the righteousness that surpasses that of the Pharisees that will open heaven's gates for you. Jesus spoke about that. He says, that is the righteousness that surpasses the Pharisees' righteousness. He says, for I say to you, that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you shall in no case enter into the kingdom of God. These are serious statements that God makes. Being a Christian is just part of it. It's following Jesus and not paying lip service to God. Hallelujah. I want to give you some beautiful words in Matthew chapter 5, verse 3 to 12. The Beatitudes. It says, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Hallelujah. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Hallelujah. Pure in heart. People with pure hands and clean hearts will see God. People who do have that kind of relationship will be scuba diving and seeing things, the real deep things of God, while others are snorkeling on the surface. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Hallelujah. Blessed are you that people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven, for in the same way they persecute the prophets who were before you. When you fully surrender yourself to the Spirit of Christ, this, what I've just mentioned to you, what I've just quoted to you, it's the natural outflow of abiding in Jesus. Hallelujah. I find that the more in my own life that I'm actually living this. I'll tell you why. I have a deep desire to continue to do so. Those are absolute unattainable without the enabling power of the Holy Spirit. These things here cannot happen in your life except by the power of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. It's unreachable for those who don't have the Spirit. You cannot reach that just by yourself or by your own works. These things are outpouring of the blessings that come because of those who walk in the Spirit. There have been many times that I read a precept or a command and that I realize I'm already obeying it just like that. When you pick up the Word of God and you open the Word of God and you're reading the Word of God, you find that you're already starting to obey that automatically. You don't have to try anything. That's the true life in the Spirit. That's what happens when you have the Holy Spirit living inside of you. You begin to think like He thinks. You begin to desire what He desires. And you begin to act like how He acts. That's what happens when you start to abide by His Word. It's incredible because He enables us to do that by His grace. Grace allows you to be able to do what He wants you to do. Hallelujah. To be able to live like He requires you to live. Praise the Lord. And through all that, we are able to defeat the enemy in our battles. Because the battle is always His. But He tells us, always go and live righteous before me. That's, and living righteous before God, it's a repellent against the devil. He cannot touch you if you're a person that walks in righteousness and holiness. Jesus gave us some powerful kingdom keys, and one of them is found in Matthew chapter 18, verse 18 to 19. It says, assuredly I say to you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Then he says in verse 19, again I say to you that if two of you agree on earth concerning anything that they ask, it will be done for them by the Father in heaven. Hallelujah. That's why prayer meetings are powerful. That's why praying together is powerful, because you're coming together in agreement to His Word and saying amen to His Word, because His Word is always yes, already yes. All we have to do is say amen to that. That's faith living. That's not having doubt in your mind and saying, I'm going to go and pray because I know that all my friends and all my family are going to agree with me when we pray together in a prayer meeting. Heaven blesses us in verse 19 when we seek group agreement and accountability in our prayer meetings. Hallelujah. Verse 20 says, for where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am there in the midst of them. Hallelujah. I like this word in Matthew chapter 18, verse 18. It says, assuredly I say to you, whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. It's not talking about binding and binding devils. Devils and demons and Satan. It's talking about your own life. You have the key to release people, whether it's through unforgiveness, whether it's through stuff that you're carrying. He says, if you carry that, heaven will not release it for you. If you carry unforgiveness in your life, heaven is not going to do that for you. You have the key to change things on earth. Jesus gave you that key. Hallelujah. This is what I want to, that's why I want to talk about this. It is that of sin, forgiveness, and church discipline. That means that if the church is walking in the regulations of Christ, whatever decisions they make, binding or losing is an agreement. Hallelujah. Whatever decisions that the church make, the binding and the losing is the agreement we make with heaven. The Bible says, pray. Jesus said, pray like this, that my will, or His will, Father's will, be done on earth as it is in heaven. Everything we want for heaven has to happen here. And the key for us to do it is in our hands. Hallelujah. This is similar to what it tells us in John chapter 20, verse 23. It says, if you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained. Therefore, the power to change things is in our hands already. These are the keys that He's given us. This kind of power you carry will keep the devil away from you. The devil comes after things that he owns. Unforgiveness, hatred, fornication, all that kind of stuff that people do, that belongs to him. So you can come and pay lip service to God in the church, but if you carry stuff in your heart that belongs to him, he will not leave you alone. Hallelujah. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 2-3 says, for if the words spoken through the angels proved steadfast, then every transgression and disobedience received a just reward. In other words, whatever you sow, you shall reap. Hallelujah. You know, I said the power to make decisions is in your hands. Every problem that happens in our lives, we have to stop and think. It's self-inflicted sometimes. Well, most times. Hallelujah. Because the will to choose from wrong and right, the power is in your hands. God gave you one of His greatest attributes, and that is the willpower to choose from right or wrong. The strength to say no to the wrong and yes to the right. The power to do that is with you. The devil cannot make you do anything unless you open your heart out and ask him to come and live inside of you, just like the Holy Ghost. Then you will be controlled by this thing. But at the power from now to sin, you have the power to choose to make the right decision. The devil only deals with your will. The Holy Ghost does the same. The Holy Ghost convicts, the devil tempts. Both of them deal with our willpower. We still have the power to make the change. You cannot come to me and say, oh, you know, this fellow did this to me. No. You still have the power. Hallelujah. He says, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which is at first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed to us by those who heard him? This is pretty obvious. So I wish to focus on the misinterpretation of this passage, taking this verse out of context, or taking it out of context. You think that we can bind and loose Satan and his demons? Let me tell you something. Many take this verse out of context. I used to believe it too. I know from the truth now that Satan, the strong man, has already been bound in the life of the believers by Jesus Christ. The day he died on that cross, the day the blood was shed, everything was taken off the enemy. The Bible says he went in and took the keys of the devil. Therefore, the strong man of this world, which the devil is in dominion of, is bounded by Jesus. Hallelujah. You and I don't have the power to bind him. We have the power to cast him out, but we don't have the power to bind him. He's already been bound. What are you trying to bind him for? Hallelujah. The Bible says in Mark chapter 3, verse 27, no one can enter a strong man's house and plunder his goods unless he binds or first binds the strong man, and then he will plunder his house. Satan's house is the world that we're living in right now. He has dominion over that. When Adam lost the keys of this kingdom, Satan took the world off him. Jesus came back and gave us the key. The key, the authority to be able to do things according to the kingdom of God. So the strong man's house and tied him up and he's robbing his possessions. How is he robbing his possessions? You and I are sitting here today, saved by grace and the power of the Holy Ghost. That's how Jesus is bound a strong man and you're able to be released into the kingdom of God. You are now saved because of the power that Jesus had. The power that he has done for us. Our greatest weapon is faith and purity of heart. That's really the point I want to bring this morning. Affirm faith in God and purity of heart. You cannot just believe in God. John chapter 3 verse 16 is the most dangerous scripture. Why? Because people isolate that and say you can just have that and believe and you're right. Jesus said repent. Turn around from your sinful ways. Start to think differently in this kingdom. Not just believe, because the devils also believe. Anybody can believe. But it takes the very few people to be able to abide by the word, truly walk in the Spirit of God. That's the key. Church is full of people who believe. Believing Christians. You can believe and believe and believe, but the more you believe and not have a relationship with God, then it's a waste of time just believing. It is about relationship. It is about having that genuine, intimate relationship with God. Start with that first. Go into that sanctuary first. Don't worry about church. You and God first. Get that right first with God and yourself. Hallelujah. Our greatest weapon, like I said, is faith, purity of heart. Not speaking words against the devil's kingdom. You can speak against the devil's kingdom all you like, but the power to stand against the devil is the purity of heart and having faith in God. Hallelujah. Jude chapter 1 verse 9, powerful scripture. It tells me, yet Michael, the archangel, in contending with the devil, when he disputed about the body of Moses, dared not bring against him a reviling accusations. Hallelujah. Even angel Michael knows that. But said, but the Lord rebuke you. Hallelujah. Angel Michael looked at the devil and says, the Lord rebuke you. Not me, the Lord. Hallelujah. You and I cannot bind the devil. You and I have the power to cast him out of somebody, but we cannot bind him. He's already been bounded. I've heard many people say, I bind you, Satan, and your demons when they're praying. Let's shift our mindset and think now. You know why many of us are walking in defeat? Because we always take things out of context. The moment you take things into context, the power comes with the word. I'll tell you something. If anyone could truly bind Satan, then we could have all gone home by now. Hallelujah. You get this? Oh, everybody's very quiet now. Are we in church? Are we agreeing with the word of God? Yep. Well, say amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Don't sit there and smile. That's the word of God that's coming out. Get excited about it and say, Pastor, I receive that. I take that on board today. Because that is John chapter 7, verse 17 challenge for me today. Hallelujah. If you could bind Satan's demons, then why is there so much trouble in the lives of those who claim to be binding him, including pastors? Hello, somebody. Yep. Often they have more rotten fruit in their lives than those they're trying to bind the devil out of. Amen. I say amen to that. Hallelujah. It's as if it's a reverse effect. Where in the Bible does it tell us to bind demons or Satan? It doesn't tell me that. The Bible tells us to cast them out of somebody's body, but casting out is not binding. So when we get these things right in God, hallelujah, your job is not to bind anything. Your job is to walk holy before God. Your job is to walk in purity and pure hands, pure heart and clean hands. That's your job. You don't fight no battle. That's God's job to fight battles for you. You're not the army of God. The kingdom has his army that fights for you. You're a citizen of the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. And the army fights for the citizen of the kingdom of God. Your job is to go into your closet, shut the door, and pray and say, God, I'm bringing this petition to you today. There is an advocate called Jesus Christ sitting on the right hand side of the Father. He is the high priest according to the Bible. And he sits there, receives your prayer, and brings it to God and says, that's a prayer from Donna today, Papa. That's the prayer from TJ today. And God looks at your prayer. The Bible says it becomes, you know, it tells me when Timothy was a man of giving and praying, and his giving and praying become becomes something before God. That every time God turns around, there's Timothy's prayer or the Roman centurion's prayer. When God turns, if you're a man of prayer, your prayer will be before God every time. Every time he turns, there's your prayer request like that. It's hooked onto God. That's our job. We don't go binding devils and doing all this other stuff. That's God's job. You have a cup of tea. Relax. Smell some roses and relax. Hallelujah. I'm taking shares out of the tea company. Because that's the best thing you can do is relax, put your feet up, have a cup of tea, pray to God, say, God, deal with that. You know how good this is pastoring this church? I'm so relaxed right now. You know why? Your problem is God's problem. I don't have to deal with your problem. That's his problem. I give you the word. Whether you receive it or not, it's up to you. I go home. I have a good night's sleep. I have a cup of tea. I love tea. I relax and put my hand up and feet up. And look, if you follow that steps, if you follow this, I'm telling you, you will never have stress in your life. No heart attacks and stress and all that kind of stuff. Relax. Don't think about it. See, church is God's problem. It is not my problem. The Bible tells me that the church is Jesus' bride. He's coming back for his bride. I'm married to Judith Akelitz. I go home with my family. That's his church. He takes care of it. When I get that revelation, I say, thank you, God. I can relax now. I'll just give the people the word. And then you take it on. John chapter 7, verse 17 tells you, take the challenge and run with the challenge. Don't come into the pastor and say, oh, you know what I'm having? I can't go around following you, making sure you're walking in holiness and righteousness. Everybody lives their life with relationship with Jesus. We are all going to stand having our own, be accountable to God for everything that you and I do. Mine is higher because I'm here on this pulpit speaking to you. And God will say, did you tell them what I told you to tell them? Yes, it's recorded in iPod. It's there. You can go and check it out to yourself. Hallelujah. It is very important for us to understand. I have not stopped from this until the Holy Spirit tells me to stop. I will go on until you begin to take on the challenge now. See, I've started from part one to part two. This is part three. Part three is the challenge part. We take it on board. This is part of your discipleship training. Hallelujah. Where in the Bible does it tell us to bind the devils? Only tells me to walk in righteousness and holiness before God. Do we see Paul saying, I bind you to silence in the church? Did Paul get up and bind the devils and demons everywhere? Does Paul say in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 8, that he tried binding Satan 3 times? No? Or asking the Lord to remove this tormentor? You know, God allowed that in Paul's life to humble him. You're going to be surprised in some of the things I'm going to tell you this morning. Hallelujah. Why didn't Paul just bind the devil in those instances? Galatians chapter 4, verse 13. I'm bringing some things to you so that you know that it is not your job to go and try and bind things in your life, but to walk in holiness and righteousness for God. God says, just be, it's so simple. Just be like that. Leave all the hard work for me. You know that in Galatians chapter 4, 13 says, you know that because of physical infirmity, I preached the gospel to you at first. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 18. Therefore, we wanted to come to you, even I, Paul, time and time again, but Satan hindered us. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 18. And the Lord will deliver me from every evil work and preserve me for his heavenly kingdom to be glory forever and ever. Amen. Hallelujah. Why the need for God to crush Satan in Romans chapter 16, verse 20? When they could have just bound him already. No. Instead of putting on the armor in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 11 to 17, or resisting him in James chapter 4, verse 7, why not just speak out and bind him in the pit? Bible didn't tell me to go and bind him. Bible tells me to go and what? Put on the full armor of God. Bible tells me to resist him and he will flee. Hallelujah. We forget that God is in complete control of all angels, demons, and Satan. And he has a very good reason to keep the devil on the loose. Somebody say, amen, Pastor. I need some devils in my life to keep me in the right path. Ooh, you went quiet there. I told you, you're going to be very surprised in things that I'm going to tell you. We forget that God is in complete control. He uses the devil as a tool in his hands to shape us, to correct us, to discipline us, and to humble us. Hallelujah. That's why the devil is still on the loose. And not your job to go and bind him. Just ask God, God, what are you teaching me in this little situation that I'm going through today? Don't get up and bind and pull down everything. Sometimes there's a training ground in there that the enemy is in there for you to become strong in the things of God. Hallelujah. As we think that we can bind, you know, what makes us think that we can bind one of God's primary instruments for conforming us to his image? Hallelujah. Sometimes you got to go, that's a good problem I need to learn here. That will strengthen me to conform to the things of Christ. Listen to what the Bible says. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 5. This is Paul. Paul doesn't mince his word when it comes to people who are living in sin. He says, deliver such a one to Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that his spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord. Oh, I like that. I'm not going to waste my time, get high blood pressure from trying to counsel you in your problem that you brought onto yourself. That was what Paul said. Deliver this man to the devil. Dust your feet and walk away, Jesus said. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 18 to 20, he says, this charge I commit to you, son Timothy, according to the prophecies previously made concerning you, that by them you may wage the good warfare, having faith and a good conscience, which some have rejected concerning the faith and have suffered shipwreck. Verse 20 says, of whom are Himenaeus and Alexander, whom I have what? Delivered to Satan. This is Paul. That they may learn not to blaspheme. Hallelujah. Pastors, listen to me. Hand them over to the devil. Don't try and fix things that you can't fix. If they choose to live in sin, then you give them over to the devil. Somebody say amen to that. If I speak to you and you don't listen to me, then what makes you think you're going to listen to the Holy Ghost? Oh, hallelujah. And when you are a person of disobedience, I will clearly say, thank you. You want to learn the hard way? We'll release you to the devil to take care of that. Hallelujah. Paul doesn't muck around with those who purposely choose to reject the truth. People like that will keep you from sleep. I'm talking on my own part, but I'm talking to you as well. Your family give you a hard time? Hey, give them over to the devil. Yeah. You can't change them. What makes you think you can change them? That's the Holy Ghost job. You just go to your prayer closet, pray, and relax, and let God deal with them. Hallelujah. Don't try to do God's job. That's why we mess things up in the church, because we are trying to do God's job. God is trying to save the world, but man is always in the way with too many programs and too many things. Hallelujah. Give them over to the devil. Go smell the roses and have a cup of tea, Kevin. Put your feet up, like I said. Papa Joe, and don't use the Fijian Bible. It doesn't work. He's watching. We pray for your healing, my brother. Be healed in Jesus' name. You'll be fine. And suck it up, too. That was Papa Joe. That was a word for him. Hallelujah. You can pray all day for Satan to leave you alone. It's the purity of the heart. The purity of the heart is a powerful devil talent. You walk with the purity of heart. When you have nothing against your neighbor, when you have nothing against your own family, when your life is transparent, full of integrity and accountability, hallelujah. No devil, no demon, nothing, hallelujah, can touch you. That's the power. That's the weapon. Not binding and casting out. It's just walking in pure purity of heart with Christ Jesus. You can pray all day till the cows come home. It doesn't change anything if you're a person that doesn't have a pure heart. Hallelujah. But if I'm leaving a door that is open, you know, I can pray and come to church and worship and do all this stuff. But if I leave a door that is open for the devil, it's a waste of time. It doesn't change you. You go out the door, you still live like the same, like before. That's why 2021 shifted is important for us to understand now, is to take the challenge and walk in it. Hallelujah. If you want to bind demons in your life, let me tell you a good, powerful recipe. And keep your breastplate of righteousness on and live a godly life. That's how you bind devils and demons. That's how you keep them away from your house, your family, your car, your own children. You stay holy before God. Hallelujah. Remember, Christ is in us. The Bible tells me, Jesus lives inside of me. And Satan cannot do anything to us that we do not open the door to or that God doesn't allow. Let me just finish by giving you some scriptures and you can go study it yourself. 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 14. But the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and a distressing spirit from the Lord troubled him. This is God now teaching Saul a lesson. He allowed that to happen to him. He allowed the devil, the demons to torment Saul. Job chapter 1 verse 12, it says, and the Lord said to Satan, behold, all that he has in your power, only do not lay a hand on his person. That's God controlling the devil. Just go and tempt him. Yes, do that. But don't take his life. That's God. God is in control. You should know that. Luke chapter 22, verse 31 to 33. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, indeed Satan has asked for you that he may sift you as a wheat. But I have prayed for you that your faith should not fail when you have returned to me. Strengthen your brethren. Hallelujah. God is in control. Look, I want to summarize this message this morning by saying, having been through more calamities in my own life, God shows me these things. And you cannot have these things until you've gone through some situations. Hallelujah. Have you gone through some situations? Amen. I'm glad that we're not a perfect church. We've all gone through some rubbish in our lives. Amen. Hallelujah. You know why? Because it's God's grace and God's love for us that continue to take us through. Hallelujah. My perspective is now that the devil is actually a blessing. Oh, somebody say, hey, Pastor, what did you just what did you just say? Are you loco? Devil is actually a blessing to the maturing, spirit-filled child of God. You grow when you have a problem. When there's no problem, you don't grow. Hallelujah. You may say, what did you just say? Think about this. God made the angel who has become Satan, and God is in complete control of him. Hallelujah. That you can be reassured that your life is good. Hallelujah. I used to believe that we were all stuck down here in a cage with a big bad lion, and our only hope was that maybe he will devour somebody else first. No? I know the truth that the lion can only eat whatever God tells it to eat. Hallelujah. If we truly believe scriptures like Psalm 103, verse 19, the Lord has established his throne in heaven and his kingdom rules over all. We believe this scripture, then the devil is not a problem to you. The abundant life that God, Jesus speaks about can be yours only when you become a person of obedience to his word. Just, I can talk about this and stretch this for as long as I want, but I think I've come to the point this morning. I believe you received something in God today. Amen? I'm going to give you some scriptures quickly and then we'll finish. Because I know you can go and study it yourself. Psalm 135 verse 6 says, whatever the Lord pleases, he does in heaven and in earth, in the seas and in all deep places. Psalm 138 verse 8, the Lord will perfect what which concerns me. Your mercy, O Lord, endures forever. Do not forsake the works of your hands. Hallelujah. Proverbs chapter 16 verse 4. The Lord has made all for himself. Yes, even the wicked for the day of doom. Hallelujah. Proverbs chapter 19 verse 21. There are many plans in a man's heart. You know that one very well. Nevertheless, the Lord's counsel, that will stand. Isaiah chapter 46 verse 8 to 11. When you're sitting down watching the news and some things are happening around the world today and you're getting discouraged, read this scripture. It says, remember this and show yourselves, man. Recall to mind all you transgressors. Remember the former things of old. For I am God and there is no other. I am God and there is none like me. Hallelujah. Declaring the end from the beginning and from the ancient times that are not yet done. Oh, hallelujah. Saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure. Calling a bird of prey from the east, a man who executes my counsel from a far country. Ooh. Indeed, I have spoken it. I will also bring it to pass. God says, I have spoken it, and I will bring it to pass. I have purposed it, and I will also do it. Hallelujah. When CNN's giving you some bad news, read that scripture. Hallelujah. That brings everything into perspective. Romans chapter 8 verse 28. And we know that all things work together for good of those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. Hallelujah. TJ, that was your message. Hallelujah. By the way, TJ is here this afternoon with us. Hallelujah. He'll totally be transformed by God. I'm going to ask you to come and share a little bit of testimony after I finish, all right? I want God to be glorified in this. Then you understand the Lord is completely in control of everything, including Satan, from Romans chapter 16, verse 20. It says, and God of peace will crush Satan under your feet shortly, and especially of the lives of those who love him. Ephesians chapter 2, when we, with scriptures like that, Luke chapter 4, verse 6, and the devil said to him, all this authority I will give you, and their glory, for this has been delivered to me, and I give it to whomever I wish. This is the devil talking to Jesus. That shows us that he's in dominion of this earth that you and I live in. But we are kingdom people. We live in two worlds on one earth. Hallelujah. Our life transits through the graveyard into eternity, regardless of what happens. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 2, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, and the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience. This is God telling us this is what Satan is all about. But you and I have already a promise that we've already seen. So when you truly understand that God is completely and sovereign in control, then when you understand that God is compassionate and loving towards those who fear Him. Everybody say fear. Fear. Fear Him. Fear God. Then you see that the devil is a blessing. Because however God allows him to touch our lives, it is what? For our own good. You're going through some things right now. That's a training ground for you to grow. If you're going through some things right now which is self-inflicted, that should tell you, I should not go there anymore. If you're still doing it, then I don't know how to help you. If you still refuse to follow God's word and still going after the very thing that got you into trouble, how do we help people like that? I know, give them over to the devil. That will work. They'll sort them out. Hallelujah. 1 Peter chapter 5 verse 8 says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion and seeking whom he may devour. What a beautiful picture of redemption we have. God wins, we win. God wins the battle, you win the battle. Hallelujah. The devil chose rebellion and evil, but God turned it all around and used his evil schemes towards believers as a careful, controlled instrument in his hands to shape us, refine us, and make us more like Jesus. You can't change when you get challenges like this in life. If life's going to be good for you casually and you can just live like that, you will never grow in God. That's why it is important for us to have that close relationship with Jesus. As I have said before, this benefit applies only to those that truly fear the Lord. If you don't truly fear God, you should definitely now start to fear the devil. Hallelujah. My friends, abundant life comes from simply obeying God's word, walking blameless before God, and simply having clean hands and a pure heart. The devil has no foothold in your life if you are that person. If you're growing through some situations, listen to me. This is not just a nice message that you have to forget by Tuesday or Wednesday. This is something that you have to do. Because the world is not the same anymore that you and I come to know. This year is not going to be, there's always some surprises around the corner that'll be thrown against us. Let me just give you another portion. The United Nations have already made us the enemy. The church, those who follow Jesus, those who truly follow Christ, those who will not go back on his word or deny him, we're the ones that are now the enemy of the United Nations and the schemes and their plans. It's become a law now that church, those who follow Jesus are now the enemy. Remember that. That's why it is no time to be just playing church anymore, or just thinking, oh, I'm going to church today because I haven't been going to church for the last 10 years. No, this is not about just going to church. This is about becoming a true disciple of Jesus Christ. Because the time will come when you will be asked to deny your faith. What are you going to say? You're going to stand there and go, No. It's going to be real. These are real things that are going to come. And it takes the true followers of Jesus Christ to be able to stand and not deny him. The Bible tells me that there's going to be a great falling away. A great falling away is not about the world, it's about the church. Those who are inside the church. So stop playing Christian, stop playing a believer, and become a follower of Jesus Christ. That's the message this morning. I pray that this message will stay with you forever and ever, all throughout the time that God has purposed for your life. Hallelujah. I want you to stand. I want to pray. If you need to force another specific prayer, come and see me. We can pray for you. If you've never given your heart to Jesus, this is the very good time to do it. If you walked away from God, this is the very day. Time is not on our side. Time belongs to God too. But this is God's timing for salvation. I pray that if you have never received Christ before, or if you walked away from Him, this is the time to do it. But I just want to pray for the Word of God to be in your heart today. I want you to lift your hands before God this morning. I want you to say to God, Father, I'm going to take this challenge. I'm going to take the challenge of John chapter 7, verse 17. That I'm going to prove your word is real. That your word is true. That you already challenged us by your word. Father, I pray that those who are here this morning, every man, women, and children, that have heard this word this morning. Father, I pray that, Lord, you challenge us as we take up the challenge of John chapter 7, verse 17. And put your word into practice. Practical living, following every command and precepts that come from you. Lord, I pray that those who are here this morning and those who are watching, there's a change happening in their hearts right now. Because it is you, Holy Ghost, that changes our hearts, transforms our minds. Lord, I'm just a vessel standing here before you today. But I pray that by the power that you have bestowed upon me as the pastor of this house, but also the power that lives inside of me, that is this Holy Ghost, that same power that lives inside those that are here this morning, I pray, Father, for that transformation right now, happening right now in their lives, Father, that we become people that take up this challenge, that our lives will truly become abundant in you, that we will see the abundant life that you spoke about, and it only comes through the obedience to walk before you, blameless and holy. Father, I pray this, if there's any situation, anything that is holding your people back today, I pray, Lord, take it out of us. Take it out of us. Whatever little situation or problem that we may have overlooked it and say it's just a small thing. Lord, we know that the devil works on small things. Father, I pray that our people will never have any foothold of the devil, something that will give him foothold in their lives, oh God, something that he will claim that it belongs to him. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, today, I break down all these things in the people's lives. Pull it down in Jesus' name. Cast it out in Jesus' name. Father, I pray that they will release it now. Release it now. Whatever that is in your heart today, I pray. God is saying, release it now. Get it off. As Papa Joe said last week, drop it. Get rid of it. It's time for a change in your life. It's time to truly see the manifestation power of God's word manifesting in our lives. We are to be people that are truly representing God right according to His word. Father, I pray and I bring your people today. Thank you for your wonderful presence and the anointing that breaks every yoke of God in their lives. I pray a release right now in their lives, in their hearts. That there's a release right now. There's a relief happening inside their hearts. God, I pray and I bring them before you today. I pray you watch over them. Keep them safe in the palm of your hands, Father God, as they continue to walk according to your word, your principles, O God. We give you praise, we give you honor, we give you glory. Father God, in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Hallelujah. Tell your neighbor.